Hello and welcome to the Simple to Podcast. My name is Daniel James. I am based in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And joining me as always, live from Berlin, is Scotty G. Scotty, how are you, mate?
For the fifth time today. Oh, well, yeah. Good, if I may speak.
Well, yeah, you're still sulking, are you?
Sulking's not how I put it, Daniel. During our regular post-podcast meeting, when we reflect on our performance, you gave me quite a tongue-lashing. Displeased, more to the point, that rather than sulking.
Well, if there's anyone that's still tuned in after last week's debacle, episode 69, they'll understand absolutely what I was chastising you about. Your drunken interludes and inappropriate interjections nearly ruined the entire goddamn podcast, Scott.
Daniel, conflicting messages. Should I drink or should I not during the podcast and beforehand?
Well, can I ask you now, have you been drinking today?
Yeah.
Okay, look, we won't cover this now, Scott, but after this podcast, we'll have another little chat. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense to be...
Look, the reason I'm being a bit of a tight ass around quality control is because we set up this Patreon account. Patreon.com/simpletonpodcast.
Gotcha.
In which we're asking our listeners beyond Nathan and the Russian to actually contribute some of their hard-earned coin to make sure that we can upgrade some of the gear, maintain the website, and actually, more importantly, buy ourselves some time so we can produce this high-quality podcast week in, week out.
High quality. And
we thank the two people that have already done it, but, you know, those two contributions will get me, not you, Scott, but me, two potato cakes and a can of Coke once a month. So we need to make sure that we continue to push this thing, and we ask our dear simpletons to contribute some of their hard-earned towards our Patreon account, which is, of course, again, patreon.com/simpletonpodcasts. And one way we can do that, Scott, is to make sure that we don't chastise them, put them down, or degrade them throughout the journey of any particular podcast, which is what you did last week because of your drunken and inappropriate antics.
Yeah, Daniel, on that, you're right. No negative reinforcement, positive reinforcement. Thank you to the two. Thank you.
From the heart. From the heart. Scott, I believe it's time for the World Report.
Ooh, yeah, let's get straight into this. The Pitcairn Islands are a number of islands, the main one of which is known as Pitcairn Island. And as the listeners will keenly recall, it was the focus of our World Report in one of our very first episodes, Daniel, back when it all began.
Back when it all began, yes. We won't cover the Malthouse and Buckley years again, but it was very early on in the journey. I don't know. I'm only taking your word for it.
Yeah.
And I think that if there's anyone sad enough out there to actually remember that amongst the listenership, then they need to have a good hard look at themselves.
Yeah, gotcha.
Continue, Scott.
Yeah, look, the Pitcairn Islands are best known for the historical event known as the Mutiny on the Bounty. Daniel, there have, of course, been a number of film adaptions, the latest of which was 1987, according to you. Who played the role of Captain Bligh?
Yeah. Are you talking about the 1987 version or the original one, Scott? Look, let's go to the original one, yeah. And it's actually Lieutenant Bligh,
okay.
I think you find. And that was played by Trevor Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And Fletcher Christian, the first lieutenant, was actually played by none other than Marlon Brando, his mate.
Marlon Brando, of course. Yes, that was more original than the 87 version, but of course there have been others as well. I'm getting my films mixed up. Forgive me, Daniel.
Yeah, not to worry. I think you got your wires across with the 87 adaptation, which of course starred Hopkins and Mel Gibson.
On my orders, unleash hell.
No, that's Russell Crowe in
oh,
what was that movie?
Gladiator. What? Sorry, getting my
Gladiator. Yeah, that was no. So you're getting see. Russell Crowe is actually a New Zealander, not an Australian, whereas Mel Gibson is actually an Australian born in America.
Gotcha, Daniel, gotcha. Back to the film, the 1987 adaptation known as The Bounty. Fine film. save for a few historical inaccuracies, I might say. I did, though, like the performance of Daniel Day.
Hang on, what did you say? What did you say? What inaccuracies?
What was the question again?
What inaccuracies? Mm. I mean, look, it's easy to throw around accusations like that, Scotty, but if you're going to besmirch the good name of Hollywood and the entertainment industry in general, which has a reputation second to none in the realm of bringing truth and historical accuracy, then you better be able to back it up.
Yeah, all right. I just also like to give a little FYI to our listeners. There was also another earlier motion picture from 1935, also titled The Mutiny of the Bounty, an epic starring Australia's very own Ree Martin as Captain Bligh, and Chips Rafferty as Fletcher Christian.
You're diverging. You're not getting to the point. So what historical inaccuracies, in your opinion, marred the 1987 version?
Violet Town, for starters, Daniel, was mentioned by name on more than one occasion, including by Bligh himself in the film when he mentioned it as a possible destination after he and his loyalists were cast adrift. The thing is, Violet Town was only settled recently, Daniel, and until about 5 years ago was known as Newfoundland.
Look, now that you mentioned that, I think Newfoundland, as it was then, was actually discovered in 1984 by Alan Fraser.
yes.
In the early 18th century, which would have had to have been to align itself with Pitcairn Island. Okay, I'm interested. Go on.
Another one is as follows. When Bligh is seized in his cabin in that film, Fletcher is holding him at gunpoint with a Keckler and Koch G3, one of the light infantry weapons officially used by the Army of Burkina Faso. Thing is, Daniel, it's a World War II era weapon. The mutiny, though, took place some years before that war.
True. And I think the laser sight that Gibson was using to point at Tony Hopkins probably also wasn't of the era. Okay. Interesting. Anything else?
No, I don't think so, Daniel.
So you want to talk about Pitcairn Island itself?
That's what we're going to get into now.
Okay.
Daniel, what is perhaps the most isolated community in the world has gotten with the program finally and embraced globalization. Yeah, that's right. According to the website of the Pitcairn government, the island is throwing open its borders in a quest for a more vibrant and open society.
Good. Well, you know, I admire a bit of spunk. I admire a bit of get up and go. I admire a little bit of entrepreneurship, which, of course, George W. Bush once said, the problem with the French is that they have no word for entrepreneur. But I'm digressing. But let me think about this. Let me just run through some numbers. I believe the population of Pitcairn is around 50 people, Scott.
That's correct.
Okay, right. Well, how much of expansion is possible given that the main island is only 3 kilometres long and about 1 kilometre wide and it can only inhabit 50 people as it stands?
A click wide.
Yeah, click wide. It's a bold idea, perhaps too bold, but it's only accessible by sea, I believe. There's actually no landing strip there. And we won't go into that, Scott. Tell us how you actually get there.
We'll do so shortly. On that thing you mentioned, the landing strip, there is a distinct lack of room on the island, being about 3 square kilometres, Daniel. As you'd remember, Hall Industries, about 2 years ago, put in a tender to develop an 18-hole golf course complete with tourist resort. Would have invested $6 million into the local economy. It was knocked back. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it was knocked back on very sound grounds, Scott, in that it would have left only 8 square metres of farming land available to the local residents, and the rest would have been taken up with the golf course, the 5-star, 3-storey hotel, and the Hall Mansion itself. So a wise decision by the local residents there, Scott.
Gotcha. But back to how to access the island. Yeah, well, it's not accessible by air. That's a given. Unless you can get there independently, the best way is indeed as follows. Firstly, you've got to get yourself to Tahiti. Then you need to catch a weekly flight with Tahiti Air to Mangareva.
Beautiful place. Absolutely beautiful place.
Yeah, I'm sure you've been there. What you then need to do is take the MV Squires from Mangareva onto Henderson Island on one of the quarterly voyages, which Henderson, namely, is an uninhabited island about 150 miles from Pitcairn.
Yep, and what then?
What?
Was that a nervous sniff?
What do you mean?
Henderson Island is a rocky outpost with no fresh water. So what then? How do they get from there to Pitcairn?
Oh yes. At this point, for a small fee, the crew of the MV Squires will take your baggage on to Pitcairn Island before they make the return voyage to Mangareva. So in a nutshell, if you wish to immigrate to Pitcairn Island, it's a hard route indeed, but not an impossible one.
That sounds like a complete and utter fucking rot, Scott. So you get people all the way into, you know, the middle of the South Pacific. We won't go into the Pacific specific thing again. We covered that in episode 69.
Yeah.
Which also reminds me of Max Walker. remember his performance when he used to host Keno? His last performance as host of Keno is when he was reading out the numbers and 69 came along and he said, 69er, what could be finer? And the words Keno and Max Walker were never associated with each other again. But what I'm saying, Scott, is that this world report is fucking lacking a little bit something or other, isn't it?
Oh, the loose ends.
Yeah.
I'm going to tie up the loose ends.
Please. Yeah.
I forgot to mention, for an extra fee, quite a hefty one, let it be said, the crew of the MV Squires will also take the immigrants with them onto Pitcairn. This can all be worked out prior to the journey, of course, but it has to be said, there have been instances when it's been sprung upon the passengers at Henderson Island quite suddenly.
And so what if they have no money? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It sounds rather dubious to me. The whole fucking setup sounds pretty fucking dubious. Mm-hmm. No wonder there's only 50 people there. So let's talk about the migration program or the immigration program. Immigrants should contribute to the community. Speak, Scott. How's that going to work?
Yeah, well, first of all, there are a number of local businesses, so opportunity to open a small business. But a handful of professionals are provided on an ongoing basis on the island by the New Zealand government.
What are they?
Right, from memory, I believe a GP is provided and also a police officer who works with the local police officer on the island as well.
So two cops yep. for a population of 50. Sounds a little bit draconian to me. I'm just running some figures through the top of my head now. I believe that Russia has the most police officers in the world, which equates to a roughly one police officer per 200 people.
Yep.
So you're saying that Pitcairn will have one police officer per 25?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, no. Go on. Good. Yeah.
I agree with you. Rather draconian. But let me continue. The New Zealand government has also provided a teacher and an actor to the island. Is there anything else I can think of?
I think that they were also considering sending a candle maker, a seismologist, a webmaster, and a JavaScript tutor. All key components of a vibrant and healthy economy.
Indeed, indeedy. As for the new arrivals, though, Daniel, who don't get government postings, tourism is a big opportunity for them, as is honey.
Yeah.
Seafood is another. The island, of course, is the only place in the world where you will find the rat-faced coconut octopus lizard, whose meat is considered a delicacy, Daniel. And, of course, harvesting its meat is a very lucrative business. So there are sectors in which new arrivals can enter and contribute.
Yeah. I mean, I stayed in a delightful little B&B during my period on the island, Scott. A lot of the locals had invested, and one of these key to tourism and immigration, which, of course, continues.
Yeah, all right. So you stayed there. What were you doing there?
What was I doing? I was there on a subsidised trip totally subsidised by the UK government. I was posted there for 6 months, all up.
Yep.
All expenses paid. Nice little contract to study the reliance of the Pacific Reef Heron, or better known in scientific circles as the Egretta sacra water bird of the Pitcairn wetlands.
Daniel, I'd like to throw out a challenge at this point. That's all very fascinating. A challenge, a mathematical challenge out to any diehard listeners we might have. I would invite you to go through all of our episodes, diehard listener slash Can you please tally up all of the postings, the 6 month postings here, the 3 month postings here that Daniel has done all around the world, and then match it up to his at current 39 years on planet Earth and see if it matches up indeed. Thank you, Daniel.
Yeah, and I should just let people know, 6 months does seem a long time to be studying one bird on a very small island. And I have received some questions via text, post and email asking where the final report is.
Yeah.
The final report is still a work in progress. It's been 3 years since I was been there. So we're approaching the finalisation of the report, but we're having a little bit of difficulty putting page numbers on it and exporting it to PDF, which I'm sure all the listeners out there would know is a very timely and consuming process. And we expect that to be completed by either later this year or very early in the first quarter of next year.
Understandable teething problems.
Scott, we have a community announcement.
Australia plays an important role in the endeavour to promote effective waste management practices across the Antarctican continent. If you plan on spending time in Antarctica soon, you ought to get yourself up to speed on Annex 9 of the MIPOL Protocol, which obliges all visitors to adhere to certain practices pertaining to waste management. The management of waste on the Antarctican continent must be implemented in a manner that helps Australia meet and fulfil its obligations as outlined in Annex 9 of the MIPOL Protocol. Ignorance is no excuse, whether you be part of state-sanctioned expeditions or an unconnected holidaymaker on the Antarctic continent. It is your own responsibility to get yourself up to speed on Australia's
Well, yes, indeed.
The editorial team's back, isn't it, Scott?
The editorial team is indeed back, Daniel.
Yeah, the fucking shows. Scott, it's time for the sports report.
Excuse me, I've dropped my pertinent page on the floor. Let me pick it up.
Fucking gotcha. Amateur.
Scotland, Daniel.
Yes,
what can
Scotland.
You tell us about the double landlocked archipelago?
Well, very much like Pitcairn Island, it was also Mel Gibson also played a very major role in the development of that little place. When
my
he played
name
William
is
Wallace
Maximus Mortimus de rigor mortis.
What are you saying now?
I was giving another Gibson quote.
No, that's Russell Crowe again.
Russell Crowe. Okay, continue. Sorry, interjections.
Mel Gibson played William Wallace, the Scotsman with the big sword.
Yes.
In the 1997 film Braveheart. You'll notice that the descendants of Scotland, like the descendants of Pitcairn Island, are very, very attractive because they were all descendants of Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. Just a little aside, not to confuse with the adult film, 2008, also known as The Scotsman with the Big Sword. On to our sports report. Daniel.
Well, Scott, what's that noise I can hear in the background, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Well, believe me, there's all sorts of building going on around here. It's one massive building site. So, listeners and Daniel, anytime you do hear some mechanic kinds of noises going on. Be rest assured it's either building, a neighbor using an industrial strength vibrator, or a hovering UFO. But now on to the sports report, Daniel. The Pit Lockery Highland Games in Scotland have just taken place. You know that?
Yes, well, of course
I presume so. The major events of this meeting...
It's a lovely venue, actually, by the way, Scott. The recreation ground at Pit Lockery.
Okay, how would you know then?
How would I know?
Another little nervous repetition of my question. How would you know?
Okay, smartass. Well, I was there for a while, during which time I worked as the editor of the monthly magazine, The Pit Lockery Life, which quite frankly didn't pay the bills. So yep. For that reason, I doubled as mayor of Pit Lockery in an honorary but well-paid 6-month tenure. So long story short, and let's get onto it, what were these games about of which you speak, Scott?
Yeah, just to any of those diehard listeners doing that mathematical challenge I just outlined about, Daniel, add another 6 months in Pit Lockery. But back to the issue at hand, Daniel. So you'd be familiar with the event then, the games, the Highland Games there?
I'm familiar with them as I'm as familiar with the AFL Grand Final, Scott, though I've never been to either.
Right. Anyway, back to the main events. They included running, cycling, heavyweights, tug of war, haggis toss, solo piping, light field, the Gibson Stair, and the Highlands Dance, to name the major ones there, Daniel.
Gibson Stair, obviously named after those iconic blue eyes of Mel Gibson. But let me tell you, Scott, let me ask you, who did you fancy for the solo piping?
Never mind what I think, because I recently spoke with our very own Fergus O'Jamison, who our listeners would fondly remember as our resident economics expert at the podcast. This is the recent conversation I had with Fergus about the event at hand. Fergus O'Jamison, thank you for joining us.
Hello, you dopey bastard.
Fergus, tell us about the junior solo piping which kicked off the event. How'd it go?
Oh, it was utter dogshite, man. Terrible, terrible.
The crowd is usually upwards of 6,000, and I believe this year is no different. How did they receive the event?
Hey, those fucking wankers, bunch of sheepish assholes. They loved it like the fucking dumb shits they are.
What was the catering at the event?
It was fucking terrible.
Fergus, given the event started in 1852, could you briefly touch on the tradition and history of the event?
Oh, I'd love to tell you all about the fucking history of the fucking stupid games where the same shite happens every fucking year, just some other bastard wins this event or wins that event, and who gives a shit, man? It's fucking boring! So there is your bloody history.
I see. How did Lorne Coulthard fare in the local heavy events?
Oh, fuck me, man. I didn't watch the fucking thing.
What about 67-year-old Sam Bate in his 20th attempt at the 800?
Oh, shit. I'm sure he did very fucking well.
Could Craig Robertson win his 7th consecutive Highlands title over the 1600 metres?
How the fuck would I know, man? I'll have to ask one of my mates.
Thank you. Next, how was the general standard of the competition, Fergus?
Oh, I'm glad that you asked. It was fucking dog shite. It was terrible. Awful, man.
And the tug of war. Big event. Marquee event. How'd it go?
Tug of war. More like tug of willies. Bunch of fucking b****ers standing around pulling each other off.
You mentioned the festivities at the end, Fergus, including the parade of mass pipe bands.
Oh, yes, bagpipes. Because it's fucking Scotland, isn't it? Fucking bagpipes! Tell you what, if I never hear another fucking bagpipe in my fucking life, I'll be a happy fucking man.
Thank you, Fergus. How was the weather at the event?
Oh, Scotty, I'm glad that you asked, Because it's fucking Scotland, and it was fucking raining, and the sky was fucking grey, and it was fucking miserable, and it was fucking shite!
Any concluding thoughts, Fergus?
Everything was fucking terrible, and to be frank, this has been a shite interview, so go fuck yourself.
Fergus O'Jamison, I thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me on, Scotty.
Was he even at the fucking event? It doesn't sound like he was even at the event.
Doesn't sound like he was there at all. Listeners, and Daniel, of course, Daniel, as you'd know, very soon, I mean, this podcast is at the crossroads. Very soon, we will be having a very special episode live at the Moglan MB Town Hall crisis meeting in which, let's be frank, the tenure of every single person associated with this podcast besides yourself will be put on the table for discussion and debate. That was
put on the table and kicked around.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's just move on. Oh, no, actually, before we move on to listeners' letters, we have a traffic report. This time not from Robert Hannell, who is out with an ankle this week. Yep. So we're actually crossing to the corner of White Street and Charman Avenue to learn of a traffic incident involving three... Yes, it's coming through. Yes, three wheelchairs. We're crossing now across to Clawfus. Clawfus, what have you got for us?
Clawfus, cheers, mate. Yeah, because Damo said to me that he had nothing to do with that.
Clawfus.
So then I go up and I speak to Gracie.
Clawfus, you're on the air.
Gracie, was it you, mate? And he said, mate, it was nothing to do with me. He said, go speak to Damo. And the thing is, I'd already spoke to him, mate, and he said it weren't him. So... like, which one am I supposed to believe,
mate?
Because one of them
on the
is lying.
Clawfus.
And so, Clawfus. Then I thought, I'll go speak to Nicole, mate, and she won't answer any of my texts, mate. So what the fuck am I supposed to do, mate? You tell me. Load of bullshit okay. If you ask me, mate. Some prick's lying, mate. Just got to figure out which one it is, mate.
Clawfus, thank you for your time.
Mate, do you got any ciggies? I'm all out.
Yeah, cut him
mate.
Off. Cut the mic off. Thank you.
Daniel.
Cheers.
What the fuck was that?
Good question. I don't know. What was that?
We're asking people to contribute to a Patreon fund, and that's the sort of shit that the production team dishes up for us.
Again, Daniel, the crisis meeting special episode coming up, Moglan MB Town Hall. The tenure of all, including Clawfus, will be up for the discussion. That was so poor.
That was fucking useless. Scott, it's time for listeners' letters.
Do the spiel.
You don't want to do the spiel, Scott?
Nah, it didn't work in our practice runoff.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely shit at us. So at it. Look, dear listeners, we cannot do this podcast without you. We can't do without your intellect. And we can't do it without some of your very minute coin. So if you want to contribute in an intellectual fashion to this podcast, by all means, send your letters in with your thoughts on any subject, on any day, in any hour, to contact@simpletonpodcasts.com. That is contact@simpletonpodcasts.com. Scott,
yeah.
I believe you have the first letter.
Yeah, this one is from Pasco Vale, who comes from Auckland, New Zealand. This is what Pasco has to say. Do you have a problem with your bathroom mirror fogging up after your morning shower? Daniel, I believe you've got the second letter.
Was that it?
Yeah.
I was on the edge of my seat there expecting some sort of answer, some sort of solution, because I do.
Sometimes, Daniel, the answer is in the question itself.
Yeah, that makes no sense whatsoever. Let's move on to second question. Oh, sorry, second
letter.
Second letter.
Yeah.
This letter comes from Anonymous of South Melbourne. Now, I believe South Melbourne is a suburb of Melbourne.
Yeah.
And Anonymous writes, ooh. Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous, for that one.
Scott, you have the third and final letter.
Yeah, I do. This one's from Sleprin Hocker, who comes from Drilldery, New South Wales. This is what Sleprin has to say. Guys, need to pull you up on something from the last episode. Bell peppers are indeed usually of the green variety when sold in your local supermarket or grocer. However, as opposed to your erroneous statements during the sports report, they can also be in red, yellow, or even blue. Now, you can take this correction in one of two ways, guys. Remain in your ivory tower and disregard any hint of criticism. Or, cop it on the chin, apologise to the listenership, and move on. Cheers, Slepren.
Thank you, Mr. Hocker.
Mr. Hocker, thank you.
A couple of podcasts ago, we would have said, fuck you, Slepren, get a life and don't write to us again. But now that we're moving forward with some crowdfunding via patreon.com/simpletonpodcast, we thank you, Slepren, for your email, and we'll endeavour to do better next time, especially in relation to talking about bell peppers, or as we call them in Australia, capsicums.
Oh, that was well said, Daniel.
Thank you, Scott. Scott, that's a wrap for episode 70 of the Simpleton podcast. Is there anything in the week ahead that Simpleton should be aware of?
Yeah, I see our numbers from Patreon doubling. What Ooh. Do you see?
Well, if that's the case, Scott, that means that I can get a piece of fish with my two potato cakes and Coke once a month. Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
No, but seriously, we thank you guys for the contribution. We'll be back again next week with a special Town Hall episode. I thank you for your time, Simpletons. And Scott, I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.